Hello, and welcome to the PeopleCert Q3 2023 conference call. My name is Jess, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note, this call is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be on listen only. However, there will be the opportunity to ask questions. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question at any time. If at any point you require assistance, please press star zero and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand over to your host, Mr. Byron Nicolaides, CEO, to begin today's call. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being with us today. Together with me is George Ganetsos, our CFO, and Petros, our Senior Director of Corporate Development. So as usual, we're going to have three sections today. You have received the presentation. That's the overview, the financials, and at the end, there is the Q&A session. Moving on, slide number five on the highlights, and before starting the presentation, I would like to underline one point. As we have said on the previous two calls in March and in June, we're changing a little bit the reporting way, and as you can see in this presentation, we don't have any more exam numbers. And this is because, as we have said, the exams as a percentage of the revenue are getting down because of the other revenue, so our business is not exam dependent as it was in the past. A second reason is that we have added some other products as well, and the exam cost varies from very low to very high, so an average does not mean much. And the third reason is that now we have entered in certain areas we're quite competitive, and we don't want very much to share our numbers publicly unless we have to. Closing the parenthesis on the revenue side, on Q3, we're mostly 1% up versus the last Q3. We're at 26 million pounds, and LTM is at the same level. We are at 124 million versus LTM June 2023. The EBITDA is at 13 million, which is lower 18% versus the Q3 2022, and the LTM is at 74 million, -3% versus June 2023. The margin is at 60%, and it's 62% versus last year. So looking here at the revenue and the EBITDA, we see that the impact of the high interest rates and the slowing of the economy started impacting PeopleCert. We're in the positive, and we'll continue in the positive, and however, it's not at the rates that we were used to last year. That's one reason. The second reason is because we were expecting higher numbers at the beginning of the year. We ended up hiring more people, which the numbers were not as high as we expected, so this has an impact on the EBITDA, and we're taking corrective action on this one. And the third reason, of course, is I'm going to touch on this one. This year is a transformation year since the beginning, and there are so many transformation initiatives going at the same time, which is impacting our numbers as well for this year and maybe for the beginning of next. Now, our net debt to EBITDA, our net debt, excuse me, as of end of September, is at 196 million. Our cash position increased from 60 million to 63 million, and this is in spite of the payment, approximately 7.5 million, of the interest rate mid-September 2023, and also some other one-time expenses. As a result of this, the net debt to EBITDA is at 2.65x versus 2.56, and in March 2021, which was 4.1x. On the other highlights, we've just launched the Prince 2.7, new product, completely renewed after almost 10 years in the market. And this, of course, had some impact on our numbers, because it's like the cars, when you bring the new model to the market, previous months, previous period, the old model suffers. We have 15 new idle practices. And on English language as well, we have two new tests that have been under development, language at academic and language at general. Those two tests are going to have an impact on ESOL numbers and pick up as of next year. We also had many translations in 9 languages of all the above. We have launched the official training material, OTM. We didn't have training material until now. Axelos never had. So there's a gradual rollout which started with instructor-led on April 23. This had a very, very positive reception from the market. And we are rolling out e-learning material as well. As you can understand, the numbers as of April 23 starting to pick up because of the training material, and will continue to grow even further as a result of the e-learning material coming out. The subscription membership, that was significantly up from last year. Remembering Q2 from approximately 200,000 to 300,000, we were close to 1.5 million. It'll continue to increase at 400% versus Q3 22, and this is part of our transformation initiatives. We expanded our product portfolio and we through DevOps Institute, as we mentioned earlier, and we can say right now that the integration is completed. And also, November, we made an acquisition of LMS Technology Platform. We had the improvement of rating upgrades, both from Standard & Poor's and Moody's, to B and Fitch to BB- in September. And 2023 was a year of very significant investments and transformation initiatives. Moving on slide number 6, on the left side there are a few bullet points. I'm not going to read them, but it's mainly for newcomers every time in this call with a few colleagues that just is the first time, so it's facilitating. On the right side, you can see the one shot, the LTM September 23 KPIs. Revenue, 124 million. EBITDA, 74 million. The EBITDA margin at 60% and the cash flow conversion at 89%. And of course, net debt adjusted to EBITDA at 2.65 times. On the revenue breakdown, you see here the main categories, which is exams right now are at 62%, and the other revenue is 38%. By business line, the IT is 56%, project management 33%, languages 11%. By geography, EMEA is 63%, APAC 20%, America 16%, and by channel, B2B is 89% and B2C 11%. I'd like to underline here that we are present and we're delivering our services in approximately 220 countries according to Google Maps every year. Moving to slide number 7, here are some of the transformation initiatives. 2023 is a full transformation year. When we acquired Axelos 2 years ago, Axelos was a distressed asset. There was no investment for many years over there. In 2022, we have done some quick fixes that were necessary, and also we had promised those quick fixes in the market when raising the board in the OM. And now we are doing the, but at the end of the day, this was a distressed asset. So now we are doing the hard work, which will take some time. And a few points here is, first of all, we are changing to our business model from being an examination institute to an IT powerhouse. and this means introduction of new revenue streams. You know that revenue streams are the books, are the training material, is the e-learning, and some others as well, subscription, and some others as well, and more to deploy. Exam revenue is no longer the driving force before behind revenue growth. From 90-95%, right now it's around 60. And we have significantly higher expenses to finance growth, primarily people. Of course, this was a little bit over too much, as I mentioned earlier, and we are taking some corrective actions. Now, the expansion of the IP portfolio and the IP monetization, going into more detail, is the books, as I mentioned, the official training material, IT and e-learning. Now we're translating and localizing everything in 9 languages for exams, books, OTM, and the website. It's a huge work to be done properly. We have new websites. You can see our new PeopleSoft website is still better, but it's much better than before, and it's going on. There's a new subscription membership site that's coming. Also, very importantly, we're addressing a much bigger total addressable market right now, because until 2021, the only market that we were addressing was the ATOs, the accredited training organizations. Now we have the accredited academic partner program, the accredited tool vendor program, all the software companies that create software on IT and Prince 2, and this is something that we initiated a few months ago. It has remarkable success so far. And the accredited consulting partner. We have more range of products through acquisitions. We acquired the International Association of Six Sigma Certification some time ago, and we acquired the QAI for Business Analysis Software Testing and DevOps Institute. And also, there are more initiatives under development aiming for a single holistic experience for our learners and the corporates as well. So, as a result of all the above, our target going forward is to develop IP, to manage IP, and monetize IP, and shift to a revenue per learner model. And this is going to lead to increased number of learners and also increased LTV and average revenue per learner. Now, the list of the transformative initiatives is much longer, but this is a snapshot here for you. If there are any questions about this, happy to address in the Q&A section. Moving to slide number 8, over there you can see the last 4 years of the exams from 90%, gradually right now are close to 60%, and we expect the percentage of the exam versus the total revenue to go further down. This ends the first section on the overview, and I'm passing to George, our CFO, for the financials. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. We are moving to slide 10. We have the snapshot of the financials. First of all, on the revenue side, we ended up above £120 million. This is significantly higher compared to LTM March 21 when we issued the bond, and also we are higher compared to last year. This growth is driven mainly by the increase in the business and IT and the languages portfolio, but also we had a positive impact from the new revenue streams. Moving on to profitability, our profitability remains very strong. We are above 60% on the EBITDA margin. And the important note here is that our profitability is sustainably high in the last 6 years. Starting from 2018 to date, it's 5 years and 9 months, and we are ranging between 60 and 65%. This proves that this profitability is sustainable over the years, and we can continue operating with these margins going forward. Our CapEx remains stable in the range of 8 to 9 million pounds per year, and it represents a percentage of 6% over the revenue. Again, here we have a very stable spending on CapEx compared to revenue, and the range remains between 6 and 9%. The high profitability and the contained CapEx expenditure enables us to have increased free cash flow generation. Our free cash flow generation is almost 90% steady over the last 6 years. And of course, this is very encouraging, that because this proves clearly that we can maintain our cash generation going forward. Moving on to slide 11, the previous mentioned financials are helping us to decelerate the leverage of the organization, starting from 5.4 times. We are in the range of 2.6, and we believe that we will continue this trend going forward. The historic trend is presented in the following slide, slide 12, when we can see the graphical representation of the previous slide. Finally, in the next three slides, we have the P&L, the balance sheet, and the cash flow. I am not going to comment on these because we have already uploaded a detailed analysis in our press release in our investor relations section. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to address any questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure your line is unmuted locally, as you will be advised when to ask your question. So once again, that's star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. The first question comes from the line of Laura Holmesy from MFS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So I just want to understand what we should expect sort of for Q4 and the full year in terms of EBITDA trajectory, following obviously some weaker performance this quarter and in the first quarter of this year, and margins going forward, sort of on the back of the transformation that you mentioned in terms of exams not being the main driver of growth anymore. And I just want to understand whether that has any impact sort of on the margin trajectory going forward. And then second question, just in terms of leverage, I think previously you mentioned you want to get too close to or around 2 times. Is that kind of still the thinking or the objective or target in terms of leverage? Thanks.
Yes, we're not allowed to discuss this call Q4, as you know. But at very high level, I can say that you don't see it, or don't expect a different picture than the one we see so far. Now on the leverage, on the deleveraging, yes, the target is to go below two, and remains the same. And if we hadn't, if there was not the interest payment in September, which coincides with the previous quarter, I think we would be very close to this.
Understood. Thanks. One follow-up, if I may, just in terms of EBITDA, I understand you can't give forward-looking guidance, but should we expect 2024 to see some sort of recovery a little bit on the back of also the launch of the new exam versions, etc.?
Again, I cannot comment on 2024, but depending also on the how the world is going, because right now we have two wars going, etc. But assuming that the environment remains the same, the answer is yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Ishita from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Oh, actually, sorry, it's Christian Delphi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I mean, just on the KPIs, so I understand that exams is less important today. It's still 60% of the business. So I'm a bit surprised that you would not share previous like big picture KPIs. And then the question is, what KPIs can you share with us? Because, I mean, clearly exams and prices have been very consistently been reported. So, I mean, even though it's a less significant part of the business, it's still a very significant part of the business. And then the next, so the question is really, what can you share with us in terms of KPIs going forward? And the next question is, can you provide some qualitative discussion around KPIs in the quarter? So exam volumes, pricing trends, you know, doesn't have to be very specific, but I mean, any help would be appreciated, because otherwise we are left in the dark a little bit. Thank you very much.
Yes, I understand. Yes, I understand. Just as an introductory statement, that we have said that this is going to happen in the last two quarters, so it's not a surprise. We said that this is going to change, and we didn't change the previous presentation and half of the year, so let's close the half year and then the new one. That's the introduction. Now, one reason is the exams are going down, and the other reason is that also the average price per exam, with the introduction of some high and some very low exam costs, exam prices, doesn't represent a reality, because if you have an exam that is 300 and another is 20, and you divide 320 by 260, is not a good indicator going forward. However, having said that, I can say two things. First of all, we are working and probably we'll start sharing better KPIs as of next year. And as of the question how things are, because there are no significant, I can say that there are no notable changes that of the previous presentation. So if we were to include the numbers of the previous presentations, there wouldn't be notable changes on the averages, etc.
Okay. I'm just looking at the QT presentation, to be honest, right now. So when you say no notable changes, number of exams. So number of exams were down in Q2, and you just mentioned they are actually down in Q3 as well. So why are they down? I mean, when you introduce lower exam pricing points, I mean, just conceptually, the number of exams maybe should go up because of
the same thing applied not only in Q3 on the lower exams, applied in Q2 as well, and applied to some extent in Q1 as well. So you shouldn't, there are no significant or notable, I would say, changes versus Q1, Q2, and Q3 on the exam price averages. And I would say on the exam numbers in general, if you take them as a trend.
Okay.
George was to add something, excuse me.
And something important that we have to keep in mind is that our revenue is still growing, our profitability is there, our margins are there, and our cash generation is there. Therefore, our financial performance confirms what we were discussing right now. And essentially, there is no reason to worry, since you can see from our financial results that our financial profile is strong and remains in the range of the previous years or quarters.
Okay, great. No, thank you very much. If you can think through potential KPIs to share, that would certainly be appreciated. Would certainly make our life a little bit easier as well.
We will definitely try to come with some new format as of 2024. However, have in mind something, we have to balance between providing meaningful numbers to you so that you trust us and there is confidence on us and what we are doing, etc. But at the same time, we're followed very close by the competition, etc. And there are some signs that we see people are trying to copy a few things that we're doing. So we're willing to give numbers to the extent that we're not giving away valuable information to the competitors.
Okay, and just last question, if I may. Just on dividend for this year, so you paid 7.35 per the 9 months.
No change.
So you expect, no change means no additional dividend in Q4, or
we don't
no change versus the prior year?
No new dividend on Q4. That's it for 2023.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Eric Santa from Ninefin. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to ask something on working capital changes, since there's an increase in trade and order payables of about 9 million. Have the payment terms with some suppliers changed? What is the reason of such increase in trade payables? Thank you.
Yes, we have some slight differences in DSO and DPO, but they are not affecting significantly our working capital, as you can see in our financial statements. Both of them are a bit higher, but they are moving in parallel. So no significant impact in our working capital.
Okay, thank you.
We currently have no questions in the queue, so as a reminder, you can press star one if you would like to ask a question. We have no further questions in the queue, so I'll now turn the call back over to your host for some closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much, all of you. I understand this is the last presentation for this year. Q4 is going to begin next year. Although it's a bit early, I wish to all of you the season's greetings, and let's meet in the new year. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your lines.